for the hair.
Sorry, I feel like once we're getting
He's
into
being.
Manus hair talk, we're basically in business.
It's very
Yeah.
much. Yeah. It's what everyone pays to hear. And
Hair updates.
the coffers are awash with cash, let me
Yeah.
tell you. That Patreon money, I don't know what they think we offer, but we've been getting a lot of money coming from the east of Europe. Very east.
I've been putting ass on there for a few months.
Yeah.
Ah, it's probably ass they want then in that
It's ass they
case.
want.
It's
And
probably
finally,
ass
someone has started to give it to them.
Yeah.
At long
Because
last.
the internet hasn't had any booty on it for the last
Yeah.
since Al Gore
Been there
invented
before. That's
it.
old booty. I've seen that booty. I need new
Yeah.
booty.
What do you mean old? I've had my booty updated every year since I invented that darn internet. I invented the internet. My beautiful, lovely wife, Tipper, who I'm sexually attracted to, invented the Parents Council for making the cover of CDs look a lot cooler. You know, we've done a lot, the Gores. He was fairly chill about having the presidency robbed off him as well, which is pretty cool.
Which guy? Sorry, the
Al
impression wasn't
Gore.
clear.
The Al Gore, that was clearly an impression of Al Gore. Well, actually, it was an impression of the guys on South Park doing an impression of Al Gore.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. It
still!
was one step away from the impression of Man Bear Pig itself.
Yeah. He does sound remarkable. I didn't, in a way that I didn't in any way notice when he was like a politician. When you hear him now, he really does sound a lot more like the man bear. Maybe he started to lean into it, is what it actually is. Maybe he probably did. He
As
always
someone
just.
who has proudly become an impression of themselves so many times in their life, I can see it happening for Al Gore that he watched the episode and was like, "Oh, I don't talk like that, Man Bear Pug."
This is the way to go. No. But my point was he very gracefully accepted the blatant thievery that went on with him and being president.
Yeah. And like he didn't realize that just like 20 years later there would they he would realize you don't have to
No.
accept it. You can just pick up a big fuss and lie.
Kick up the fuss of all fusses. Really, you should kick up I mean, you don't have to like say that it was stolen, but you should probably stamp your foot and cry a little. It's like, you have to
Listen,
be
I
gracious
understand the
about it.
dignity of the office, but it's also like pretty dignified not to steal it. Like,
Yeah. Even if you just lose fairly, I think you should cry publicly. It's upsetting. You definitely cried privately.
yeah,
Like, think of
100%.
it's your whole fucking life that you've dedicated to this thing that's now going to the other guy. And yeah, you should cry and stomp your feet a little bit. It'll make me like you more and make the rest of the world probably not like it very much. I don't know. Yeah, I can kind of see why they don't cry and stomp their feet. Fair enough. Move on. And plus, you never know when they'll wait till your mind completely goes, then wheel you out to be president later. Long after you
Yeah.
thought you were too old for it. Long after you personally had given up on any hope of ever being president. But enough about Emmanuel Macron.
Whoa.
In an entirely unpredictable move, the French have moved to the right. Yes, they have. Yes,
Yeah.
they have. A move unpredictable, like by anyone, except by from everyone, including the guy who called the election. I think he
Yeah.
was like, "We better call it now, so that they don't move even righter than they already are."
I think like was it Malcolm? No, it was Martin Luther King who said the long arc of history bends towards justice. But I think he was wrong there. The long arc of history looks a lot like the cha-cha slide. So first you slide to the left, then you slide to the right. Crisscross. Which I assume is some sort of Third World War, you know?
I probably it probably is. But yeah,
No, that's when
it's the
everybody claps
ballistic
their hands.
missiles co going back and
Yeah,
forth.
yeah. The clapping of hands
And
is actually the explosion of bombs. It's a metaphor.
yeah,
He's very, very
it's
wise
about
and
the DJ Casper was ahead of his time.
very poetic.
And you realize when you're looking at the French as well, and you don't have to look at them for very long. It's like they actually don't care one way or the other. They just want to burn the country down. They don't yeah. like. They're just like, ah, is it to the barricades again? What are we in favor of or against vehemently this time? I don't yeah. think it matters. They based an entire movement around like high-vis jackets at one point.
They did, yeah, yeah. Like, and I think I listened a lot to the Dave McWilliams podcast, and he's a big fan of saying how the French have had five republics, you know, so they like constantly improving, like not mentioning the kind of violent revolt around all of these kind of, it's like it's actually the destruction they like, not the
clearly at a certain point you realize that
your reads to better, more iterative government.
At a certain point, you realize that they're not having the violence to secure the revolution, but rather the revolution to secure the violence. Like at one point, they had a bourbon restoration, which like they brought Antarctic biscuits. Before you ask, they brought back the king at one point. As far as I can tell, just to get rid of him again. They might as well have brought back the one they chopped his head off. For
one
as
of
long
history's
as they
greatest.
Him.
One of history's greatest Sykes.
Gotcha.
I fucking gotcha, you bitch.
They weren't even 50 years from the first Napoleon before they were on their third one. That's the thing about Napoleon, he skips right past two and straight into three. But despite all of the political goings on, and there have been many of them, incident president arrested for murder. We don't have time for that. But if you want to hear any more, please change to another channel. We're back. It's the final countdown. We've been away, but we're back. A lot of things have happened. So obviously, Justin Timberlake arrested for DUI. The American president's head fell off. The French have collapsed again. And we're not going to talk about any of those.
Absolutely not. No. None of those were important.
None of those were important. We had two huge pop culture events since you went away, and some of you, I presume, weren't back for them. First of all, and it's slightly lesser news, and only lesser because of what came after it, the great South Dublin increase of average BMI for one day and one day only, which was Rammstein, came to town.
Did anyone go to Rammstein?
I wish I had gone to Rammstein. You could hear it everywhere. It was in the RDS, and I could hear it clear as fucking day in the middle of town.
Oh, yeah. It's like it was, we're pretty close to the RDS, relatively speaking, so it's to be expected you could hear it, but it was like it was on beside us. And in fact, I was down
driving past, yeah.
It was ridiculous. And I was down in Herbert Park for their, at the time they were doing their sound check, or their EQ anyway, and they were, like, it is, I don't know, if you didn't love Rammstein, I don't know how you existed in a 1 kilometer radius of the RDS, because it was, like, the drum would go and then you'd hear it bouncing off an apartment building. The RDS does not keep the sound in at all.
Yeah, would not expect it to. Not what it's for.
No, yeah, it's not.
Well, actually, so I got some hot takes on from a friend of a friend who's in the touring production game, and he was like, that sound engineer definitely got fired. Every band is loud. They just did it wrong. Like, the modern technology is pretty good at aiming sound, so unless he had the speakers facing out instead of in, there's no way that was supposed to happen. I probably got in significant trouble.
I'm glad that even German sound needs extra Lebensraum. It cannot be contained by mere acoustic shielding. Yeah, well, if for no other reason you would think they would want to contain it more, and that, like, you could get a free gig by just sitting in Herbert Park and listening to it. Like, I know Rammstein is mostly at this point about, like, let's see how many fireworks we can set off before somebody calls the police. But if you were for some reason interested in listening to the music, you could listen to it entirely for free in the comfort of your own Herbert Park. Which I didn't do, but you could do it if you want.
You could do, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there was more people like around around the Aviva in the last week than there was around there. I feel like everyone who wanted to go to Rammstein was able to go to Rammstein.
They kind of were.
I didn't even know Rammstein were coming until like the day afterwards. Like, wow, Rammstein were the loudest gig ever.
Yeah. I didn't know what happened until I was like, a lot of oversized black t-shirts with bleeding font knocking around. Oh, it's Rammstein.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of heavy boys going around in black on one of the hottest days of the year. I've never seen a band that attracts as much wearing the band's t-shirt to the show as Rammstein. Like you think a lot of them do it, but
about Black Flag?
Black Flag, yeah, but see, the thing is, people wear Black Flag gear just out and about anyway. You've never
heard that's my point. Flag. Is like, oh, finally, an excuse to wear it. Something that I wear every day, anyway.
Oh, no, my Black Flag t-shirt isn't clean. Don't worry, it hasn't been in 6 years. I'm wearing it anyway.
What's the fun of wearing Black Flag gear if you can't give out about it? Say that they haven't, that, like, you didn't like them after Henry Rollins joined, or like, you know, have some fucking of you, or actually, you should be like, actually. Opinion. Yeah.
I will say there was one other gig which I was in attendance of in the last week, which I think would give an unexpected, unless you think about it for half a second, Burly Boy attendance. Green Day.
Oh, a lot of Burly Boys.
Let me tell
Green
you,
Day.
I was at LCD Sound System the night previous, where you could buy all manner of drinks, including like spirits and mixers. You could get a can of White Claw. You could get not a huge array, but the only drink available at Green Day was fucking pints.
That's all they wanted.
Because they know that's all they want.
What do you do if somebody asks for a Diet Coke? You know, it's never come up.
Yeah. I've never heard of this obscure drink you mentioned.
You're absolutely right. The fan base of Green Day look like the current lineup of NoFX, body shape-wise, which is pretty... that's a deep cut for those of you who know what NoFX sort of look like. They're kind of chubby. Chubby punks. God bless them.
Yeah.
And they're not bothered by it. Like, I think the singer's called like Fat Mike. I don't think they have that. Yeah. I don't know if he's called that by people who like him.
Yeah. You've got two choices here, Fat Mike. You can either rail against this nickname or you can really lean into it.
And I know how much you like leaning.
But in other entertainment news, there was the cultural phenomenon of the year. Second, it beats out Rammstein just about. And funny enough, not in head-to-toe wearing the merch, but Taylor Swift came to town.
And it was a 3-day full-blown news affair.
A sequined news affair.
Okay, so I live in town. I live basically near the Aviva. Couldn't have told you Tay-Tay was on. And I was out and about constantly, admittedly at like other gigs and stuff as well. But like, I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, okay, there was like 60 or 70,000 people at that. But isn't that just every Leinster game?
True.
Every knockout game.
Every knockout game. And several... Yeah, every knockout game.
And several of the, like, pinty ones, you know.
Yeah. And whenever we're playing Deborah near Christmas.
The Aviva is, at this point, very good at having a crowd at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, so... it's not like it's this crazy, unmanageable thing, like, oh, my God, town is going to be crazy with Tay-Tay. I'm like, yeah, but, like, it's not that crazy when the Stir are playing.
Yeah, it's set up for a match, in terms of uniform, I think the Leinster crew wear their uniform more proudly than the Tay-Tay crew, and the Tay-Tay crew wear it. They wear the sequins.
I got more friendship bracelets at the knockout stages in Crow Park than I did at the standard.
Sorry, lads.
I got one that was actually two saying Leinster handcuffs. That was cute.
Yeah. I was gonna say, getting the old friendship braces put on you at a match sounds like you got taken out for streaking. Is probably what sounds like happened. You're right. The stadiums are generally better for stuff like that. Like when Longitude happens, Rathfarnham stops. They put it away for the day. They like, go away. Farnham's gone for the day. Because Marley Park's not set up for it at all.
So Green Day was in Marley Park and we like parked at Nutgrove and walked 30 something minutes to get there. We were like, this is fine, but it's just a knowable amount of pain.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you did the right thing than trying to do anything else. Like, every single year there is people giving out on the internet that the buses weren't up to snuff. It's like, yeah, it's Dublin bus. Of course it's not up to snuff. And yeah, it's going to, you know, so yeah, accepting that, like, okay, it's going to be half an hour, but it's going to be half an hour. Like, you know what it's going to be. You're not queuing for a shuttle bus or whatever. And the Green Day crowd are more well-behaved. They don't strew their illegal drinking around the place like the 17-year-old messers going along.
Yeah, a lot of people pissing in the bushes, but nobody getting sick in the street.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Taylor Swift was, as you suggested, an absolute media event. And we're contributing to it. Here we are, a big part of the media ourselves.
Yeah. Everyone was waiting for our take.
They were waiting for our hot, spicy take. But I don't buy into the conspiracy theory. I know I don't buy into one. I don't, this one. I don't buy into the idea that Taylor Swift specifically, any more than any other pop culture phenomenon, is a psyop. I mean, obviously there's a degree of institutional cooperation with any sort of global superstar act. But I can see why people think she is, because to me, it's just a full court media press constantly when something's going on with her. And I don't ever see her really seem to do anything to court it. It just seems to happen. But boy, were people excited. People had a lovely time. There was a queue at the Three Arena going miles and like really long queue. I couldn't figure out what it was for.
A lot of dumb fans.
They had a dedicated merch venue.
Yeah, that's literally all it was.
Which is the largest dedicated concert venue in the country, was the merch store for the tour.
Literally just selling merch, and there was queues around the block for it.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, like the only other place I've seen that was WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I'll also tell you, there's a little bit of forced something going on, right? Because I think they're confusing different eras with Taylor Swift with just albums she's released. So every album apparently corresponds. Like, this isn't Madonna or Bowie. This is she looks the same in all of them. The songs are very similar. Like, there's
the difference
two eras.
In song from Lover to Red isn't that huge.
It's like, it's the country one, the fun one, and then the sad one. There's been three basic eras. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean
basic in every interpretation of that.
Yeah, there are obviously, if you like were to like point out that like Toby Keith protege that she was to begin with, and the now, it's like, yeah, that's a big shift. But they're trying to say there's more than there is. God bless them. And it worked, because it sold a lot of merch. A lot of sad sequined people in the rain. Well, they weren't sad when the gig was on, but they were sure sad in and around the
environment. Waiting,
did a lot of rain. And like it was very rainy during the day on Saturday and then actually quite lovely in the evening, proving that God hates gays but loves pop girlos.
God, fuck. I mean, I wish there was any other way to interpret that.
because speaking of sad and sequins, there was another event overshadowed by the rain this Saturday, which was the Pride Parade. And I cannot think of an event that is less conducive to being rained upon so severely as a modern
Hair
Pride
and
Parade.
Outfits not designed to be outdoors.
No.
Like, it's one thing if you're like a 70s or early 80s like leather daddy gay, where it's like most of the stuff you're gonna wear is pretty rain dealable.
Pretty, yeah, if you're in the waterproof community.
Yeah. But it was mostly about, you know, and as well, if you were out at a pride parade in the 80s, particularly somewhere like not at the, not in the Castro in San Francisco. Like you were at a non-traditional pride venue. It was a war. You were fucking, you were a certain, a level of toughness that I'm glad no longer has to exist.
You, you take a bit of rain, you know, like that is the least of your problems.
And yet, there were going to be tears over rain, but there was, there was a lot of mascara spilled over the rain this year. Hey, I'm sure there's plenty of indoor things to go to, but the parade itself looked a bit soggy.
I had planned to go watch the parade, but then saw the forecast and decided to just meet all my friends in the pub after the parade, which makes me a bad ally, but it makes me a dry ally, which I much preferred.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I did also nap through the parade and then go to the club.
Mm.
I was like, that's where all the gays really are, you know?
Yeah.
That's where they need my support and ogling.
And I supported them in the best way I could, far away from them on my couch.
I don't know. That is where, that is where they want you.
We all play our part.
I know how this whole package reads, and they don't need me adding to the rain on their parade, let me tell you. Guys, I'm really drunk on Bud Light. Is this helping? Am I an ally?
Where did we all fall on this?
I've actually forgotten because I've also got a Kid Rock t-shirt on. So I don't know anymore, to be honest with
you. I'm giving you mixed signals. Listen, that's on me.
That's on me. Oh, well. Those are the things that occurred. Nothing else has happened. I was really hoping we'd be able to talk about England getting knocked out of the Euros, but they took that away from me last minute.
Bloody hang in there. Like rats.
They showed that tenacity that makes that team in many ways very difficult to hate, which also less fun to in any way watch. So
you just need to turn your head slightly to the left and look at their fans.
Oh, like, God bless
them. And you're so excited for them to be knocked out, for their fans to be sad, but you know their fans are just going to blame it on the black players.
Yeah, they're going to blame it on the black players. They're at their second happiest doing that, actually. So you haven't even really done anything.
You haven't
to
even
them.
Hurt them that much, exactly. Yeah. Like,
they're upset from it.
You were
seconds.
Doing a great job there with your gigantic beer belly, hurling abuse at your own player. How did they not win for you?
I background watched the game at a Charlie XCX themed rollover in Lucky's. And the juxtaposition of like cutting to enormous English fans while like the skinniest twinks you've ever seen are dancing in neon green, like directly in front of like moving head to see other was absolute perfection.
Can I also point out, Jack, that you are the greatest man I've ever seen for making the creeping specter of alcoholism seem like part of the plan. So I was at a Charlie XCX themed rollover, which just so happened to occur after we was. I was struggling until I got those first few into me.
No, I was very responsible. I drove to the rollover so I wouldn't drink. I would just hydrate and chat.
Couple of archways.
No drinking, just a few archways and a pizza.
Just to steady the nerves.
Yeah. At this point, you'd be irresponsible not to drink the archways. Yeah, but on the plus side, we get to do it all over again at the next match. I think they're playing Switzerland next.
They are, yes, good. Yeah. And Switzerland's a much better team than Slovakia.
Yeah, we're stocking up on cuckoo clocks and what else do they like?
Swiss cheese.
Direct democracy and Swiss cheese. They like that holy cheese. They get it blessed by the Pope. That's how they get it to be so holy. And that's the exchange. That's why the Pope is guarded by the Swiss Guard. They get some prime soldiers for the Pope. They wear very silly pantaloons, and the Pope blesses the cheese, makes it holy. Yeah.
Do you think like the Swiss Guard has to wear those silly pantaloons, right? But like the threat has like increased, and their ability to do violence has increased. I just find it so funny that you have to wear those silly pantaloons while like carrying heat. It's just very funny to me.
I have to think it's part of the thread. There's a line from Futurama where Bender turns to a belligerent and says, "You ever been beaten up by a guy wearing a dress?" And I think it's part of the thread. It's like,
yeah, it's, you're like, it's like a Boy Named Sue type play.
It's exactly like a Boy Named Sue. It's 100%. Don't delve into it if it's like that at all. But you know, it's a bit of a Lady Chatterley's Lover situation.
Well, that I do know.
I can tell you. Oh, very droll, Monsieur Cronin. Very droll indeed. It's the final countdown. Also, you're probably dying to hear about Gav's Travs and the beers we're drinking. So I guess there's only one thing to choose to, really, and that is this week. I'm having a pearl necklace, otherwise known as a pearl and backer.
That's the old thing that means.
Yeah, that's, and that doesn't mean anything else. Don't look it up.
Don't look it up.
Don't look it up at all. Saw Gavin having a delicious Italian brew.
Oh, delicious!
I'm in port.
2007.
You can feel the tradition coming off that bottle.
1859 that this motherfucker has been going since. I find that hard.
1 minute to seven. That's there.
1 minute to seven. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it has, but nobody outside of Italy thought to drink it until like 2015 or whatever.
Yeah.
Just brought in all of the Italian.
Until lagers. Like AB InBev or whichever giant corporation decided. Yeah, I'm sure we can get them to drink this cheap Italian as well.
They'll brush these their tongues. They'll
drink anything. Did we put some good-looking people in the sun on telly?
Yeah, they've released, and actually, it's not Moretti. It's I think it's Peroni, but one of the Italian brewing old venerable giants of Italian brewing has released like a 4.2% beer that they're trying to market as like for when you're really needing that extra taste. And can't you just admit that it's to pay less tax and to make more money? Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
exclusively for the Irish market. Yeah, wonderful. So this was Carlsberg at some point, and you've put a label on it. I understand. Jack, presumably this is the Rupert the Bear themed rollover that you're on now this Monday, so I probably have a little something there.
No, as a result of my actions, I am drinking a Quiet Noise alcohol-free Pilsner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Quiet Noise.
Yep. It sounded the same when I opened the can, so I think immediate false advertising ding on that one. But Quiet Noise are Ireland's only dedicated alcohol-free craft brewing brewery.
Sorry, cut to Larry Duff. Well, yeah. That's the end of me. Sorry, Quiet Noise, if you're listening. That was too mean. But
well, they
could, but sometimes accuracy comes out mean. What are you going to do?
Quiet Noise is brewed by a team of beer lovers and one of Ireland's only craft beer sommeliers. So if they're really in the biz, they'll be listening.
Right, so that's a lie then, straight away.
Yeah.
Like the only way that's one of Ireland's only craft beer sommeliers is if they've actually statute barred anyone. Like if they've got their own certificate that they're only giving out to a couple of people. Like, yeah. What are you shitting on about, lads?
What the hell do you mean?
They're like a globally recognized wine sommelier. Is there like an institution that like certifies that? Is there some sort of recognized body
for
there's,
wine?
There's probably more than one, but yeah, there's various like recognized and like sommelier things. James would answer this if we hadn't run him off with our constant niggling and teasing. He was doing some sort of thing like you can do. The Cicerone or whatever. For
I'm seeing the Cicerone, and then there's also the Association of Craft Beer Sommeliers.
Yeah. But fucking shitloads of people do that. Like, what do you, like every fucking boring cunt you ever met has done the Cicerone. Like, I'm sorry, I'm sure that's not true. Except I am sure that it is. But So good for them. Good for. Is it supposed to be a sort of play on white noise? Is it supposed to be like white noise? Is that what we're supposed to be getting at here with their name?
You know what? It's unclear. It's Q-U-I-E-T.
Yeah, it's clearly quiet noise. I think they've if anything, they've gone too close to it being white noise without that being right. So I don't know. Maybe they should have had some naming sommeliers working for them as well. I don't know.
There's only one certified naming sommelier in Ireland. He has to smell the name, look at the name. It's mostly looking at the name.
Recognize the terroir of the name. Yeah, it's
slow terroir. And actually, what the fuck has the craft beer sommelier they got to work for them? What have they got on me? I know all the fucking non-alcoholic beers. Because I suspect this craft beer sommelier knows fucking craft beer, but not the various Nabs. Distinctions on which NAB will make you shit yourself the quickest.
I know, it actually says it on the can. This beer sommelier has ensured us that you will not shit yourself.
Ah, so it's a beer sommelier.
Yeah, so it's number of calories. It says it's hoppiness factor, and it gives a countdown of the number of hours until you shit yourself.
Oh, that's not bad. But as always, it's not about how the marketing goes. It's about how it tastes. Jack, how does it taste?
It tastes like every non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, that's a shame. A very predictable shame.
I mean, like, sorry. In that it has the characteristics of non-alcoholic beers, in that it is fundamentally beery, but a little bit sweet and fine.
Yeah,
I would say it's probably better than average, but like you can kind of, it has those characteristics.
Mm.
You do sort of a lot of learning to like non-alcoholic beers, just picking one, learning to ignore the base level flaws that are there with every non-alcoholic beer, and then learning to like the distinct thing about it, which I suppose is quite like learning to like
beer.
Any beer, really, isn't it?
Yeah. You're
just like, beer is kind of inherently gross, so we'll just what do you do when you're in Audacity, or what are you supposed to do? Are you like correct for like room tone?
Yeah,
with the base disgustingness of beer, and then try to pick out the bits you like, and then insist that those are unique to that beer that you've picked. Every cunt in Ireland.
My journey seemed to know to getting to like beer was drinking 4 cans of Tuborg, getting sick after the first 2 for about 2 years, then moving on to Bavaria, getting sick for the next 2 years, and then not getting sick, which, wow, it's amazing.
Really,
what the body really can do with
an acquired time. An acquired taste for that poison. You'd think you would have learned to stop after a can. Like, that's honestly what you would think would have, you would have developed a healthy relationship with alcohol. Your body was really trying to give you that.
No! Like, even like a mouse would stop eating the poison after a while, you know?
No matter how tasty a piece of cheese you put it on, the mouse eventually either dies or stops eating the poison.
Yeah.
But we humans, we have a way.
That's what separates us from the animals.
It's true. Our intelligence and ability to rationalize away all these things that are killing us. What are you going to do? So actually, despite the teasing I've given them, we are delighted to welcome to the national palate another non-alcoholic beer option. I do think you're probably right, Gavin, that like folk being that they only make non-alcoholic beer, I just can't see.
It's an uphill struggle here. They need to get their marketing so right. And even then, they're competing with the biggest marketing budgets in the world.
Yeah. Who are, I don't know if they admit it, but it's obvious, who are using non-alcoholic beer as a loss leader to basically circumvent advertising norms in many cases. You know?
Yeah.
So like, how can you compete with them? And to be honest with you, even if it was amazing, that won't be enough. It never is. So being average, but if they get their marketing completely right, maybe they can survive for 6-7 months. I could easily see that happening. Every couple of years, there'll be a big media splash about a new non-alcoholic bar open. What a pub that doesn't sell alcohol. And then it goes away quietly. Because of course it goes away quietly. Because
we're here for the poison. Like, let's stop kidding ourselves. We're here for the poison.
Or we're here for the everyone. And regular pubs also sell the thing that you sell. So it's like going to a bar that doesn't sell G&Ts. Like, okay, well, one of my mates wants a G&T, so I guess we're not going to go to your bar.
That's a better,
You're right. In fact, any like, and you've been to a wine forward bar, Jack.
I have. It's very wine forward.
And that's the closest to working, I think. That or a cocktail bar is the closest to a functional, this is the one thing we do that could work, because you will, there might be enough
that's
people.
That's picking a vibe that people can get on board with.
Yeah.
Writ large.
But mind you, even a cocktail bar that's really cocktail forward, you can get a beer.
You can get a beer. Yeah, you have to. Like, because I'm not going to bring my dad there because he doesn't drink cocktails. He drinks beer.
Yeah, it's true. Well, or once you get him started on the cocktails, he's anyone's. That's the real
problem. Yeah, true. Well, that's the worry. Yeah.
It's around and out around the cosmos, and it's a fucking problem. Well, yeah, so I can, there's every reason why that wouldn't work. Yeah. Wine bar, again, wine bar will have a beer. It won't be necessary. You won't not go in there. The underdog is just beer. I think it was the only place I can think of that was ever in this country just beer. And it keeps, I don't know if it keeps failing, but it keeps moving.
Yeah, which is close to failing.
It's rare.
It's like one of those balls where you kind of catch yourself a few times, you know?
It has a lot of the trappings of failure, even if that's not what it is. Like, if you're constantly shuttering the doors and moving on somewhere else, you know, hang up your shingle elsewhere and hope for the best. I don't know where they are now. Are they still in the Legal Eagle or wherever they were?
They might be. I don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
Once they move from the place where I literally have to get off the bus and pass by anytime I go to town, I haven't been there.
Yeah.
You have to be sort of convenient. How was you went to the home, Gavin, of traditional Italian brewing?
Yeah, I did a Moretti brewery tour.
Did you actually?
No, I did not.
That would have been so cool.
We were in Tuscany, which and very near Chianti, which, as we know, is a wine region. And we looked up some wine pours. And because they were like 200 euro, and I've done a few of them before, I'm like, I actually don't need to pay 200 euro to do that again. I'm just going to get wrecked like for like 20 quid.
On wine. unless you're a proper wine bore, you kind of only need so many of those, don't you?
You hear the same thing every time, you know, you understand the process and what goes into it and how old the grapes are and how nicely they treat the soil, you know, whatever, the way the hill faces, like, yeah, I get it, it's interesting to a point.
Yeah. It's not interesting enough without getting way more into it.
Eventually I'm like, and can I have some?
Quite quickly, actually.
You know what would make this a lot more palatable? Having some on my palate.
Some of your delicious products.
Yeah.
Have either of you been to a place where they do wine tastings and you're expected to not drink it? You're expected to swish it about and spit it out.
I have not been to any of those. I actually was at one. Where someone came in and we did a wine tasting in work. Completely under the boss's noses. I've actually been doing a wine tasting at work for the last 18 months.
I don't think anyone's noticed.
I try to make it not too tannic, you know, that could give me away with those big red lips. But we did it, and she did bring out a bucket in case anyone wanted to spit it out. And of course, no one did.
That bucket dry as a bone on the way out of there.
Yeah,
I did go to a beer festival once where I think what the process was you would get your beers and then you would drink loads of them, and then eventually you would spit it up into a bucket. It was much later.
It just wasn't as neat and planned out.
Yeah, that was often done at home or in the streets outside of the festival.
It often came up with its own unique terroir and acquired. What's there to do in Tuscany apart from get shit faced on wine for 20 quid? Not that there has to be.
I'll be honest, it was low key. It was mostly kind of walking around dope ass medieval cities, stopping for a 2-hour lunch, walking around some museums and stuff, stopping for a 2-hour dinner, Like, lovely.
I'd say the food was absolutely next level, was it?
It was out of this world. It was amazing. Like, and I think I had heard a few years ago that Italy was like a really expensive holiday. I think just everywhere else is caught up, but it didn't seem that expensive.
I think like everyone, like if you're coming from Dublin, everything is free.
Yeah, yeah.
True. And if you're, and probably if you're comparing it to 2 weeks in fucking Benidorm, I'm sure it is a really expensive holiday. But like, yeah, if you just come and comparing it to Dublin, nothing, what could possibly be expensive?
Yeah.
Like even Copenhagen and places like that, it's like, dude, this isn't really that different, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if I want to come, well, it makes me less need to go to Copenhagen, but because if I need the experience, I just go out in Dublin. And then there it is. Yeah.
But yeah, Italy, absolutely class. Had only been there once with my family, went to Lake Garda to like a campsite, so didn't really get the full authentic Italian experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really recommend it. And I would especially recommend, we went to Pisa for one night, then Siena, Florence, and Bologna for three nights each. And I kind of knew I was going to love Siena, knew I was going to love Florence. Bologna really knocked my socks off. Like, absolutely class city. The food across the board was delicious, but in Bologna, it was like next level. It's like a bit less touristy. It's a university town. There's not as much to see, but like, I just think the vibe is a bit better. And yeah, I would just highly recommend Bologna as a place to go.
Did you have a spaghetti bolognese?
I did have a spaghetti, just like Nonna used to make. There was a lot of places we went that made it just like Nonna used to make.
Was there a lot of Nonna? Was there a lot of people like sitting in the windows, hand rolling the pasta in front of you?
There was. There was indeed.
So good.
Incredible.
So good.
It has to be one of the most butchered regional cuisines.
I will say this about like the Italian cuisine. The food was out of this world. But like last year I went to Greece and the food was amazing. And like after like 3 days, you're like, oh my God, my body is a temple. I feel so good. Because you're just eating like some grilled meat, a lot of salads, like fresh kind of veg and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whereas in Italy, you're eating a lot of pizza, a lot of pasta, a lot of gelato. And like every meal is amazing. But then the times in between, you're like, oh my God, why do I feel like I've swallowed a kilo of cement?
Yeah. Dan, I'm sort of following your tips on a map. And tell me, did you go to the Lamborghini Museum in Bologna?
I did not. Where's that?
I don't know. It's just north of it.
Yeah. I looked up Bologna afterwards. And apparently, like, it, of all Italian cities, I think other than Milan, has the highest GDP per capita. Apparently, it's a big capital of industry as well.
Oh, wow.
There's a bunch of places. Like, Segafredo is there. Lamborghini. Duotti. Yeah. Loads of places.
Look at Jack, you don't need to go see the Lamborghini Museum when you've brought a Porsche with you.
Yeah.
That's sure. Joyce is a Porsche in this.
Ah, area. Right. Okay.
And I'm not sure if Porsche outranks Lamborghini in cars. I haven't studied cars.
That may end up being an insult. Car sommelier.
Yeah. That may be, I'm not one of Ireland's. That may be like going, why would you go out for steak when you've got a hamburger at home?
There's a comedian with a pretty good joke where he's like, I always, whenever I go out drinking, my wife thinks I'm getting with other people. And I always tell her, you know, why would I go out for a hamburger when I've got steak at home? And she thinks that's the sweetest thing. But what she doesn't know is when you're drunk, a hamburger is fucking delicious. Yeah. It's exactly sometimes what you want.
All you want is a hamburger.
Yeah, you don't crave a bit of steak when you're shit-faced. You? Because, consequently, there aren't a bunch of shops selling late-night bit
not a
of
lot
steak.
Of late-night steak joints.
Ah, monsieur, can I interest you in a bit of steak? Fucking... You've swapped that out for a kebab and we're in business, Fredo. Let's get going.
I told you we shouldn't only open at 11 p.m.
Sometimes I think you want us to fail.
Don't wrap it up too tight. I want to sit on this curb and eat this medium rare ribeye.
this greasy fillet right now. That's the problem. It's not greasy enough. And it's not in a kebab. And it's not got all those delicious vegetables.
The city of Philadelphia has solved this problem.
Oh, they have. Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
I know, I must say, they have solved that problem, but a quick glimpse around the streets of Philadelphia would illuminate a number of more serious problems that they might have bent their will towards fixing first.
Yeah. They could have prioritized very differently.
Better. They could have prioritized
better. I mean, you should expect no less of a city whose most famous landmark is a broken bell.
Yeah, look at this shit thing.
Look at it. So you know what? Your city has one that works. We have this. This is what we need. Good enough. And they have a statue of their most famous sports person, Rocky.
Rocky, their most famous real life guy, played by a guy. Where is he even from there?
Well, Rocky, the fictional character of Rocky is, yeah, but no, Stallone's not from Philadelphia, I don't think.
I wonder where he's from.
He's from Italian America.
He's from New York. Yeah, he's a New Yorker. Wow. Yeah.
Well, Rocky's from Philly, which is fine. You know, I can't think of too many other places that have. I mean, I suppose we have a statue of Luke Kelly.
Was he
real? Did he exist? I can't.
No. He was a fictional character based on the bird from that ad about carbon monoxide poisoning.
by Ding Dong Denny O'Reilly. Now you know that.
And that's why there's a statue of Ding Dong down at the docks.
Ding Dong at the docks, yeah. I actually think that's actually him. I don't think there's a statue there. There's a Phil Lynott statue, which is good. Not at the docks. There's a statue of Tommy down at the docks.
Used to work there, didn't he?
One of the worst jokes anyone ever wrote and then repeated several hundred times.
Yeah, because it also wasn't crucial. It was like the first joke we said in the show. Could have easily started differently and didn't.
Easily and advisedly should have. Oh, Tom used to work there. Yeah. And it said, well, actually, I suppose it did set people up for what they were about to get.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. If you left after that, you know, you understood. Yeah.
The Dubs were knocked out of the All-Ireland, probably for the best. Probably for the best for the tournament. That's good, you know. Got rid of the old Dubs, you know. Certainly Michelle thinks it was for the best for the tournament. And she really is just a big fan of Galway football, I should say.
She always has been, though, Manus. You knew that when you got together.
I did, yeah. But funny enough, my father, proud Kerry man also, just big Galway football booster, always has been. Thought it's good for the championship and it'll have Galway still in it. You know, it's nothing against Dublin. It's just really for a vintage year, you want to have the old tribesmen, you know.
Yeah.
You want to have them in. Oh, well. They can't win it every year. It does seem a touch unfair.
Apparently.
It does seem a touch unfair, though, that it's like when they win it, it's like, it's not fair. They win it all the time. And when they lose it, it's like, my point still stands there, but also, Which is it? Come on. If your point is literally they're too good, we're not worthy, then you don't get... Then surely, although I guess it doesn't... There is a little. Just are we supposed to then go like, well, see, we're terrible.
We're crap.
You know. Well, it was nice to see them go out on their sword, much in the same way as young Dermot Connolly did recently. Still without a conviction ever, technically. doesn't seem to matter how many assaults he does. Yeah, when I do the same thing. It's not national news. I'll give you that much. It's just
the judges around the courts are just thinking, "Wow, if only this wasn't such a high profile case, I could convict him."
we our judges love nothing more than convicting people and then somehow it not impacting that person at all.
Yeah, that's what they love.
We've got some. Although no one was more receptive to criticism of the Irish judiciary than the people who've been criticizing them for every little thing forever, the people at our Ireland.
yes, the nutcases.
To the point that when there was a big protest over a suspended sentence given out, when really a suspended sentence probably shouldn't have been given, But I didn't notice it because the only place I really saw it was on the internet, where they never shut up about suspended sentences. So I just thought it was just another thing.
It was kind of business as usual with the, like, I know the name of the judge and why this is wrong crowd.
God bless them. God bless these internet nerds. Without them, they're not even the good nerds who invent things. We need them, you know. We'll put up with, like your Gateses, your Musks, your... they didn't really invent anything either, did they?
Kind of had a lot of money.
Well, I think of it, I'm starting to think there's nothing good about nerds at all.
And now I'm thinking I didn't wedgie them enough.
No. I probably didn't. I don't think I ever wedgied anyone. Did you ever wedgie anyone? It seems like I got wedgied, I think, once in my life, and I really, really hated it. It was like, that really hurt my arse. I don't think I ever did it to anyone else.
I think I wedgied someone as, like, I grabbed the back, someone else grabbed the front, and we both went up.
Yeah, that's the battle. And
it
really
their nutsack. It was,
that's a sore. Like, the one where you just sort of pull
and then
up
I think
the
it happened to me. I think I'm net zero in terms of wedgies. I think I've been wedgied as much as I've wedgied.
Pulling up the back of the pants isn't too bad. That doesn't even really hurt. But yeah, when someone grabs the front as well, it's like, ow. That is
that's the one time you're sitting there going,
why are my underpants so strong today? Why couldn't they just tear? What's going on?
Shouldn't have worn the extra thick.
And I have to say, I don't think I've been wedgied since puberty. And I have to imagine it'd be much worse with bigger testicles.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, less space. Two things cannot occupy the same space.
Perfectly wedges between the... Yeah, because you think wedgie arse, but if it wedges between the balls, oh, shi chi, wow.
The old 7-10 split.
I'm telling you, this is the guy. So a review of probably only one of the beers is really needed.
Yeah, it's the quiet riot, the quiet noise we need to hear now.
Okay, well, I'll give you, this is how much is left.
Quite a bit.
A lot.
Most of it. Now.
I've been through the pearly gates twice in the time it took you to drink that.
The pearly gates. That's very good. Okay, so like maybe, okay, let's first attribute blame to me.
Yeah.
I don't need to drink anymore.
True.
So
yeah, I get that.
The idea of me drinking this was maybe a bit of a nonsense to begin with. But like this is like, if I give it an out of 10 for non-alcos, it's probably like, you know, 7.5. You know, it's pretty good, but it's not blowing me away. It's better than your average. But ultimately fine. My view has not changed with the tiny additional amount that I've drank since I said something at the beginning.
Yeah, no, and it's a shame. I'm sure they'll get their crack team of Irish beer sommeliers onto it, and they'll reassess based on customer feedback. And Jack, you're actually quite a large percent of customer, I suspect, for this brewery.
Oh, don't worry. This was left here by someone who came to my house. I didn't buy it.
So God, there are many benefits to being the party house, and one of them is that you get all and sundry cans get left there. That's also one of the drawbacks. It's a great thing about being the party house, is the benefits are almost all also drawbacks.
Yeah, you become very willing to throw away things you don't want.
Yeah.
Which is good.
You should want to do. Yeah, that's yeah. I'm not as well. I have a broken Fitbit that not only have I not thrown away, but it still sits upon my bedside locker to this minute. There it is. That hasn't worked in a year and a half.
Wow, but there it is. It's so readily available.
It is to hand. Yeah, it's not even in a drawer.
It's closer than many important documents you need.
Literally. What are you going to do? Probably would have been the kind of day where we would have had enough to talk about for a double. But there's no point reaching around for any more because I can't stay long enough to do one. I don't think anyone else can either. So we will we'll rejoin you next week, folks. We'll fucking be back, lads. Okay. We'll be back.
Yeah. We're gonna give the audience what they want. Ah, no, let's not do that. Let's come back with another one.
Come back.
No, I don't like the sound of that at all.
We'll make this interesting. Let's watch something else. Good, solid jokes, which is what this entire thing is about. It's about making you very annoyed at us. So there you go.
Yeah. Have we succeeded? What if we made some more noises?
How about that? Really only leaves us one thing to cheers to, which is to the verdant hills and rich brewing tradition of Italy.
The rich brewing tradition of Italy. The Italian... The tagline of Piero Moretti is the Italian passion for brewing.
Undeniable.
Undeniable.
And cut!
Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.